Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Starting verse this morning is 1 Peter 5:8, which you are probably familiar with. We're not going to stay there. I just want to do a little introduction with that. Let me get all mic'd up here. I want to start off by saying what I'm going to preach this morning is going to be of great help to you. I promise you, if you'll take it with an open heart and allow God the Holy Spirit to get inside you and to teach you, man, it is going to help you because it's something we all deal with. 1 Peter in chapter 5, let me just read it, and I'm going to get right to it here this morning. And again, I do trust it'll be a blessing to you. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast your care upon him. Stand up, please, for verse 8. Humble, cast your care, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The devil's motto is wreck and ruin. Yeah. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. I'm already paring down my message. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 through 15. I want to preach on the world, the flesh, and the devil. Temptation and me and how that all fits together. You understand this. You need to know this. The world and the devil have double-teamed and triple-teamed with our own flesh to destroy every saint of God. The world wants your children. The world and the devil want your grandchildren. They want your wife. They want you. It's all about wreck and ruin. They want to destroy you as quickly as they possibly can snuff out that light of the gospel and kick you to the curb as a casualty, having made shipwreck of your life. That's just a word of warning. That applies to everyone here. This morning, I want to preach on bipolar Christianity. It's all around us. I got it, and you got it. And before I get to the real conflict, I want to identify, number one, the devil. It says in 2 Corinthians, not going to belabor it, I just want to read a couple of passages of Scripture. And then I want to identify the world. And I'm not going to belabor that. I think it's pretty obvious. I just want to read a couple of passages of Scripture. But then I want to get to the real problem, the flesh. And we're going to spend some time in Romans in chapter 7. And trust that it'll help you and then give a remedy to it. This bipolar Christianity, you can't take a pill to get rid of it. Man, that's not going to work. It takes a lot more effort than that and a lot more of the grace of God than that. And I've got an answer, and I'm going to give it to you, and it's going to help you. And I trust you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you will know before we're through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Talking about demons. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Talking about the false prophets of God, those that are preaching a false message. They come as angels of light. They dress like we dress. They talk like we talk. They carry a Bible like we carry, but they lead people away from God. Understand, the devil does not play by the rules. He'll wear a white hat and he'll lead you astray. He'll make you think you've got it all figured out. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, when you do not have it all figured out. Let me just tell you a couple of things about Satan, and I'm going to move on. Number one, he's a snitch. He's an accuser of the brethren. We read that in Revelation and chapter 12 and verse 10. And in the book of Job, we read that he stands before God. He gives account to God the Father. You see, he's not deity. He's not God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. He's not omnipotent. He is certainly not all-powerful. And he was a created angel of God, lifted up with pride and lifted up with his own beauty, and he rebelled against heaven and rebelled against God, took a third of the angels of heaven, was cast down to this earth. Some of those angels are reserved in chains of darkness to be released in the last half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, somewhere at work in the atmosphere in which we live. And I want you to know, there are powers of darkness, and they are at work in the world in which we live. The devil is not your friend. I'll just say that. He is not your friend. Don't go running to the devil in time of need. Don't do that. Don't listen to his little voice as he whispers in your ear things that he wants you to do. Don't do that. Number one, the devil is our enemy. He's got an ugly heart, a lying tongue, and the foul stench of sin and death is all over him. I know he's an angel of light in the day and age in which we live, but he is a loser. Please identify the powers of darkness that are working in your life. Number two, there is the world that is working against us. John in chapter 15, would you turn there? Gospel of John and chapter 15. First John, he talks about it as well, but let's go to the Gospel of John and chapter 15, verses 17 through 21. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world. By the way, there are several different words for the word world in the New Testament. The word cosmos right here speaks of, if you want to think of a synonym, it's not a complete synonym, but it's a synonym, the culture, the mindset, the direction of the world. It's immoral. It's naked. It's doing everything it can to destroy people and capture their minds and their thought life. Jesus said, don't be surprised when the cosmos, when the culture hates you. They hated me as well. And they're going to hate you if you follow me. This is not a dark thought, but you got to know this. I just want you to know the score. Things are getting darker in the culture in which we live. The Church of Jesus Christ is that city that's set on a hill, and we're going to stick out more and more and more like a sore thumb unless we acclimate. That's a mistake. That's the Church of Laodicea. You don't want to become like the world. You won't reach the world that way. You'll destroy people and maybe some of your own kinfolk and offspring. Don't go there. The world, the devil's not your friend, and the world is not your friend. Let me read a couple more verses. Jesus said, verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not that his Lord what his Lord teacheth. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm wrong verse. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Ecclesia, called out once, called out assembly. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The world is not our friend. The cosmos, the world system. Do not get your doctrine from a television program. Do not get your doctrine from the music of the day in which we live. Do not get your doctrine from your peers and the people that you hang around with. That all gets incrementally weakened with every step that is taken. And you get farther and farther away from God. Go right back to the truth, the Word of God. Go right back to this book right here, the Scriptures, the Word of God. Quit trying to be like the world. Oh, but my friends, that doesn't matter to God. We are called of God. We are special, called out people, called of God, in the day in which we live. You understand that some of our brethren from years before us would have given anything to live in the age in which we are living right now. The time that Jesus comes. The time when the church is following God is right at its climax, and then we're rescued out of this world. Man, I want to be in the battle when the trumpet sounds. And don't listen to the world. Now, the world is not your friend. I know there are television programs that you think are the greatest thing since sliced bread. They'll lead you astray. I know there's some music. Say, oh, but I like it. It does so much. It does nothing for you but feed your flesh. Which brings me to the third part of the equation here this morning. To go to Romans in chapter 7. Everybody turn there. Romans and chapter 7. Verses 14 through 24. I'm going to work my way through this in a quick manner. And then I'm going to give you the answer, what you need and what I need. Now, I said I was going to preach on bipolar Christianity. We all have it. If you're born again, you got it. You have the old nature and you've got the new nature. And whatever nature you feed, that's the nature that is going to be the stronger. That's the nature that is going to win. Some of you are going to leave this morning. You're going to think, man, he was preaching right at me. I know he was thinking about me. And I'm going to lay all my cards. It's not a good phrase. Lay all my cards on the table. I don't want to do that. All right. What can I say instead of that? I'm going to give you the truth. I'm going to lay it out there. Okay, here we go. All right. Leave the cards out of this. Flesh. Leave that out of there. All right. This is the truth. My biggest problem is Tim Rader. And I know there's spiritual wickedness at work in the world in which we live. In the last 10 days, I'm preaching to Tim Rader this morning. You apply it to you. I'm preaching at me, all right? That's why I'm going to get mad. I'm preaching at me. In the last 10 days, I have struggled more with my temper than I have in my 41 years of ministry. I'm serious. And I want to tell you up front, you would not like the old Tim Rader. Not one iota. I mean, several times in the last 10 days, I'm just bearing my soul. Don't think less of me. You're just like I am. I know you are. I don't hope that upon you, but I just know you are. I wanted to put my fist through walls. Man, I had to get on my knees and repent and ask God for forgiveness again and again in the last 10 days. And it was things that were going on in my heart. Man, there was a time when what I'd fight before ever thinking. That's why that sixth grade girl beat me up way back in sixth grade. Yeah. ever thinking things through. By the way, somebody misunderstood me. That was not high school. That was sixth grade. So those of you that were here a couple weeks ago, you know what I'm talking about, right? Those of you that weren't here, you should have been here. Too bad. It's gone. I'm never going to mention it again. I'm done, all right? But you know, just that fight at the drop of a hat, lose my temper, fly off the handle. It's so easy to do. Man, it becomes habitual real fast. That's what I found out. I opened the gate one time. I opened the gate one time. All the horses got out. Man, now they know where the gate is, and they're trying to get out all of the time. It's just a weakness, and I've had to confess that sin to God. Now, I don't think anybody saw me but a little grandkid that hopefully is too young to ever remember it. You know, but the fact is, and it happened, basically it happened after another man in the church came to me and confessed that same sin and said, you know, he's really struggling with it, and it wasn't a week that went by, and then I know there's a spiritual battle going on. There may be some people here in the auditorium who are struggling with that very same thing. I don't know how the demons are classified by old Beelzebub, but I think that stuff is loose right now in this area. And I know that sounds a little spooky, but I just know there's a spiritual battle going on. All right, so I'm going to preach to Tim Rader. My biggest problem is Tim Rader. Here's my deal. I got two people inside me. Isn't that the definition of being bipolar? I got the old nature and I got the new nature. I got the sinful, fallen child, the son of Adam, and I got the born again child of God where the Holy Spirit reigns, man. So I got this battle that's going on. And it's really easy to be mature and just do my thing. I just do my thing. I'll say anything I want to say. I'll be as sharp as I want. I'll be as nasty as I want to say. You know, I'll wear what I want to wear. I'll go what I want to wear. Who cares? Who cares? I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved by grace. I'll just let it go. That is so, so juvenile. And so weak. It really is weak. Romans in chapter 7. I'm my own worst enemy. I was going to start the message out by saying, my name is Tim Rader. I've been preaching for 44 years. I've been pastor here for 41 years. And I still sin. Nobody ever arrives, not here on this earth. We have that struggle. It's there all the time. Verse 14, we could look at the whole chapter. And there's goobobs of texts that I could turn to. And if you're not an educated person, that is a Hebrew phrase, goobobs. It's all over the Word of God. For we know that the law is spiritual. Amen. Amen. But I am carnal. Sarxenos. Fleshly. Led of man. Paul lays it out. He's talking about himself. Sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Every Christian is fighting this great battle that is within. I am a contradiction. I'm a conundrum. I'm an inconsistent sinner, saved by grace, and I struggle every day. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Don't you forget it. It's too good for me. The law is good. The law is perfect. The law is holy. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul's saying, I got a problem. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, sarxenos, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, I want to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. There's the frustration. Paul said, I can't get it done. I need Christ. In order to overcome this habitual sin, in order to overcome and not be overrun by temptation that the devil brings my way. Man, I know what's right. I'm a child of God. I know what's wrong. God, the Holy Spirit lives within me. He convicts me of sin. Why is my flesh so drawn to that sin? Because there's pleasure in sin. Sinning isn't work. Sin is easy, but has a high cost, a high price that must be paid for it. More than you want to pay. I will guarantee you that. You can drink, you can swig that beer down, man. You know what? He ain't going to send me to hell. No, no. Your sin sends you to hell. If you got a Savior, his name is Jesus, and you're born again, you know you shouldn't be swigging that stuff. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a high cost that goes along with it. Let me paraphrase what Paul said. You're stupid. How many times I was mad at myself in the last 10 days? Man, I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad at the rock. I wasn't mad at the board. I wasn't mad at the saw. I was mad at the guy that was running the saw. I was mad at the guy that was putting the rock in place. I was mad. I was just mad. And then things start piling up. Do you know, you ever been to the place where everything is all uphill? You get on the struggle bus, as some of the young men are saying, and I've heard them say several times, that's good. That really explains. I've been on that bus many times. Oh, how you doing? I'm on the struggle bus, man. It's bad. But I just keep plowing ahead. Just going to get it done. And that's good to be determined. But the fact is, and then the devil works on your flesh, and then things start piling up, man. Phone rings. No, I won't say anything there, all right? Just piling up. And things are, people think, you know, the preacher doesn't have sweat drip off the end of his nose. Man, he doesn't know what it is to work. And yeah, you might be right. Okay, all right. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I just can't get it done. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I, or that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's the battleground for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In this battle against the flesh, there's never a ceasefire. There's never, it's always intense. It's always ongoing. Some of us have stronger flesh than others, and it's our fault. We did it to ourselves. We fed that animal. We fed that old nature. That's why it's so important to do the right things and go to the right places. You feed that flesh, and it's gonna control you like a monster. Every time I lost my temper in my heart, it got easier the next time. And it got easier the next time. I'm telling you, I had to repent in tears because of the sin in my heart. And I knew it was grieving God. And I knew it was grieving the Holy Spirit. Nobody ever arrives. You got to know that. You're never totally delivered from temptation. Not until the sound of the trumpet, when we are rescued. Until then, we're bipolar. Let's read on. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul just lets it blurt out. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. This is, I believe, the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. He writes it in Holy Writ for all the church and all the world to read, if they'll read it, in the Word of God. The greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. He said, he called himself a wretch. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, no matter how good Paul was, here's the truth of it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. No matter how good Tim Rader ever gets. And sometimes I think I'm pretty good comparing myself to other Christians. Compared to the holy God of heaven, I'm a wretch. I'm a wretch. And I got a long ways to go. I want to get to the positive here in a moment. Let me just finish reading this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, you and I, we can't live above the fray. We can't live on the victorious side of this thing called temptation. All of us are tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Turn there quickly. I'm giving you the solution right now. It's not a pill, but it's the solution. I may have said verse 31, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Our brethren around the world are tempted in the same way. We all pass through the same waters, through the same temptations of the flesh. It's the dumb ones that feed the monster. It's the spiritual ones that feed the spirit. You say, that looks like a man to me over there. He may be a man, but he's a wretch. And he's a mess, a hot mess on the inside. And all of his offspring are experiencing it. All of his grandchildren are experiencing the next generation. That's all they know. Because the man fed the monster. He started out as a young boy feeding the monster. He got to his teenage years and he continued to feed the monster. He looked at things he shouldn't have looked at. He listened to things he shouldn't have listened to. And there's a monster growing within him. It's called the old man. He got to be in his early 20s, and before long he was a drunkard. And he just messed up his life, and people didn't like being around him anymore. He chased his kids away. Messed himself up at the job. And he's turned into that monster that he fed. And yet, there was a time when he surrendered to Christ and was born again. He's a conundrum. Guy on the other side of the aisle, same thing. Same young man, different young man, same story. Gets born again. He's got that monster living within him, but now he's got the Holy Spirit living within him, and he feeds the Spirit of God. He feeds the Spirit of God, and he grows in grace. And we may have time to read it this morning. He grows in grace and knowledge. You know how you grow in knowledge of Christ? The Bible. The Bible. He grows in grace. That's God working in him and through him and giving him things he don't deserve. That's grace. And not giving him some of the things he does deserve. That's grace. But he's also growing in knowledge because he's a student of the book. And he's turning into a muscle man for God. A spiritual giant that'll slay giants in the future. And he'll pass that on to his offspring. And pass it on to his grandchildren. And a legacy is starting. And every one of those children and every one of those grandchildren, they got that same battle going on. But now they got a hero. Now they got somebody that can point out and say, Grandpa did it right. I know there's a God out there, and I know he loves sinners. Grandpa did it. I can do it as well. Look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, amen, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. That's good to know. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Whatever temptation comes your way, God's faithful. And he'll make an escape for you if you'll just take it. He'll make an escape. He won't let anything, because he loves you, you're his child. He won't let anything come into your life that will overwhelm you. There's always a way to escape. He'll never give you too much. He's never going to pile. You might feel like it sometimes, but he knows what you can handle, and he's not going to pile on you. And the reason is he's growing you in grace. You're going to grow in grace, and you're also going to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. Man, I'm out of time, and I haven't gotten to the full solution yet. Let me just give it to you real fast. You got a pen? Write it down. Write it down on the margin of your Bible. Get it as quickly as you can. These aren't new, but these are six things. Number one, Romans chapter 6. Reckon the flesh dead. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The scripture says, yield not your members as to instruments of unrighteousness. You got to make a choice. You have to make a choice. It's the same thing with salvation. You've got to make a choice. You can't just bump through life. You'll never have victory over that sin. You make a choice. I don't like that anymore. Every time I do it afterwards, I feel filthy. I don't want anything to do with that anymore. And you confess. You make a choice. You confess your sin to God. That's the first step. You get pointed in the right direction. You say, I recognize it as sin. I'm not going to coddle it anymore. I recognize it as destruction. I'm looking to Jesus now. So you reckon the flesh dead. Sin no more hath dominion over you. Paul wrote that to New Testament Christians. You don't have to knuckle under to any temptation. Reckon the flesh dead. Number two, read your Bible. That's the obvious, isn't it? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And we might just not get any further than this. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, grace comes from God. Knowledge also comes from God, but that comes from the book. So you grow in grace, you live your life, you grow in knowledge, you stay in the book, you cannot coast. If you coast 2 days, you've backslidden. If there's 2 days that you don't crack this book open and get some meat, man, you're starving. Yeah, it won't be. You'll be weakened. It'll be incremental. The dummy won't understand it. The dummy won't recognize it until it's too late and they're off and adrift and don't want to turn back to God. But read your Bible. Reckon the flesh dead. Read your Bible. Read the story of Joseph in Genesis 39, 9 through 13. Sometimes when temptation comes, I just told the young people this, you got to run. You don't hang around there and play footsie with the devil or temptation that comes your way. If you're in the wrong place, get out of there. Get out of there. Just like Joseph did with Potiphar's wife. He left. In fact, he ran. He left his coat in her hand because she grabbed it and he ran right out of the coat. He said, I'm out of here, man. I know what I'm made of, and I know I'm not a rock, and I'm not going to set myself up for failure. So you reckon the flesh dead. You read your Bible. You can do that. We can do that. And you run away from the sin. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the sarxenos, flesh, because we all got it going on. Rearrange your life. Maybe there's some things and places you've been going and things you've been listening to and people you've been hanging out with. It's not good. It isn't good for you. It has weakened you. That's where you just need to rearrange your life. Don't just stop doing evil. Start doing good. God has so much for the obedient. Turn to Psalm 31. I'm going a little bit over time. Psalm 31. I'll let the radio guys fix that. All right. Psalm 31, verse 19. Rearrange. God has so much for you, and the devil has nothing but chains. Verse 19 says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. The whole world's going to know it. God has great things for the child of God, the son of God, the daughter of God, that obey him. The devil has nothing but chains and destruction and heartache and tears. Please know that. God is good. And you know what? What else? God is big. He's big. And he has much for us. So you reckon the flesh dead. You read your Bible. You run away from temptation. You rearrange your life. Just be smart about it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. Replace the sin, number 5, with something better. Don't just stop listening to sensual music. Start listening to godly music. Don't just stop drinking alcohol. Start drinking black coffee. Bless God. That's what you need, right? You know, don't just stop doing wrong. Start doing right. Don't just stop dying. Start living. Replace the sin with something better. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things from above, not on things from below. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The last thing. Let's all turn there. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. 16. Let's go to 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's help. His name is Jesus. He was tempted. He knows what the flesh is. He never gave in. He was tempted in all points like as we are, but he never gave in. He never surrendered. He's God. He's the holy, only begotten Son of God, who was completely victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he went to the cross and paid for my sin and for your sin. There's victory in him. On the practical side, I'll say it one more time. Reckon the flesh dead. Admit what's sin. Don't coddle it. Don't play with it anymore. Don't play footsie with the world. Man, he's gonna break your back is what he's going to do. Read your Bible. Be a student. Run away from the temptation. Rearrange your life. Replace that which is evil with that which is good. And then reach up to God for help in prayer. Boldly. You'll find grace. You'll find mercy. Just read it. You'll find help. That's who Jesus is. You just don't know. And this is what a loser does. Tim Rader has been a loser a few times. This is what a loser does. Well, what's the use? Everybody else is doing it. You know what? I'll still go to heaven. That's a loser. And you just wreck and ruin everywhere you go. If you're here and you're a child of God and you're messed up in some habitual sin that'll ruin you, I'm going to pray you get caught because you're a child of God. And I want you to get caught so you repent of your sin. Say, you know what would be better than getting caught? Repenting of your sin. Just saying, oh, it's over, man. I'm reckoning the flesh dead. I want victory in Christ. And if you're here and you're not born again, you need Jesus. Say, get Jesus. After what I just heard, I received Christ and I'm going to be bipolar spiritually. The battle starts, man. The battle starts. But the war is won. We're going to be in heaven. The war is won. You need Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.